Good morning. It's good to be with you again. Last week we looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit had come and that the Holy Spirit had called us to into a place where we were now in unity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is the focus of this morning as Trinity Sunday. And it would seem that the passage of Nicodemus and the message that Jesus had to give Nicodemus about new birth is a preparation for this whole idea that God's people were to be caught up into a particularly special relationship with God himself, God who is already one in relationship. As Paul wrote in the news sheet this morning, thinking about the Trinity also helps us to understand how our relationships with one another should function. The Trinity demonstrates relationships where mutual love is central. When we look at Scripture, the most obvious of the ways that we see the members of the Trinity operating towards each other is in love. So we have this Trinity that has connections of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but that Godhead is to have a relationship with us needs God's people to be prepared in a way that enables such a close relationship. Because before, you could not walk into the presence of God without being struck down, killed, unless a special provision was made. And now we have this special provision of new birth. And I think new birth probably puzzles us as much as it did Nicodemus. What are you talking about, Jesus? We hear him say. Paul took this up in Romans 8, where he said to the brothers and sisters, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So then, well, what came before? He's drawn a conclusion from something that came before, and if we read in verse 11 of Romans chapter 8, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." If the Spirit of God lives in you, then God will also give life to your bodies through the Spirit living in it. Therefore, so then, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but we are debtors to the Spirit who has put to death the deeds of the body so that we might now live in the fullness of being the children of God, of being part of God's family, part of that connection with the Holy Trinity. We are children, and we are to inherit life. And we declare, don't we, later in the service, who are we? We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. So this is not just my personal experience or each of your personal experience with God, that you might be one with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we are called corporately, the body of Christ, to be connected with one another through the Spirit and then to function in life, to bring life into the places where God calls us to live. And Paul goes on later in Romans 12 to say, "Therefore, if you are people of the Spirit, present your bodies as a living sacrifice." So there's some consequences of having received this Spirit of life, is that the Spirit of life will bring about a change in us that enables us then to give ourselves back to the Lord, to be used for the Lord's service. If Christ himself cannot be here on earth walking around in Palestine as he was, then God has called something, I'm not sure, can you say better than the Lord Jesus walking around? It's definitely something that's more widely spread, is that the body of Christ is now spread everywhere, not just contained where there's a footprint, but everywhere throughout the people of God. And that people of God are to be distinctive, Paul says. They are not to be conformed to this world, but they are to be transformed. Transformed by the renewals of your mind. In Christ, we are new creations. We are people of new birth. And together, we are a new creation, a new body, a new Israel, a people who now are transformed in a way that the people of Israel had not been able to be at that time. They needed Jesus too. We've been born again. We've been blessed anew. It's a Nicodemus event. And yet often we find ourselves pushing against this truth and this action in our lives. We find ourselves echoing Nicodemus's words, how can anyone be born after they've grown old? Can someone enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born? This sounds extremely puzzling. This doesn't seem to make sense. What are you on about? And Jesus says, well, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is transformed, becomes something that more resembles and is empowered by and is in relationship with the Holy Spirit. So don't be astonished if I tell you you need to be born again, but you need to be born from above. Now, all of us have experienced the birth process. We may not remember it, our own individual birth process. Some of us have experienced the process of giving birth and seeing a new little one. But if you think about it, the end product of your birth process is you. You may not look exactly like you did on that day. Those little pictures that are tucked away in someone's wallet or an old family album of you on your first day in the earth, on the earth. But there you are, you, being born in the image of the family from which you come. I think he's got Dad's eyes, you know. Don't you think that hair's going to be just like his mother's? No, I'm sure that's Grandma coming through. Which Grandma? That likeness, the personality, within a year people are labelling just like his father. I can see old Tom coming out there. Here is a likeness that is a physical likeness, it's a personality likeness, and it's also just who you are, which is not just a pure identity just like your father or just like your mother, but is uniquely you. So imagine this birth process that we have to come out of the womb of God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Is it too strange a metaphor for you to put in your head? But it's the word that Jesus used, that you will be born again. This birth process will happen and you'll be born into the likeness of your parents, the likeness of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. That we are born to be just like our brother Jesus. And so we have a new birth that should take on the shape of our parents. And just as most teenagers push back on having to live in the likeness of their parents and do everything they can, in fact, we do it well into our 20s and 30s, to be everything that my parents are not, or perhaps there are some things I like about my parents, so we do the same with God. God, we might even have had rebirth in your spirit, but we just think we'd like to do things our way. I'm not sure that I want to conform always to your way. There are some things about the world that I quite like. So I think I'll just keep that bit or grow that until God stops us and says, you have a new DNA. Your parentage is spiritual. And definitely the way that God has made us physically, we're told in Psalm 139, God knows us from the moment, or even before conception, is following our growth inside our parent, our mother, not our parents, our mother. But that birth is not enough. We need to not be conformed just to the way we are physically made, just to the way our personalities are made. We need a DNA that comes from the Holy Spirit, that we might live in God's likeness and that we might grow and mature into the likeness of Christ. It's not enough to just not conform to the things of the world, but we actually need to be transformed and changed so that we can become fully mature, fully adult selves in the likeness of Christ. And Paul says in Romans 12 that we should be transformed by the renewal of our minds. I was led to thinking about this by a young female theologian called Dani Truick. She writes, it's not enough to not conform. Certainly, Paul makes it very clear that Christians are not to be conformed to the world, the patterns of this world. We're not to pour ourselves into the mould of the world like you might a jelly and set it into that shape. You're not to just come out looking like the world and culture around us. But we are instead to be transformed into the shape that Christ gives us by renewing our minds, because then we will be able to discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect? We often puzzle over what God really wants of us. We may read his word. We spend our whole time saying, so having read the word, what is the application? What does this mean for me? What does this mean for you? Preachers are always warned, don't just tell us the word, tell us how it applies to our lives. Well, here we see that we are to have minds renewed so that we can then discern what is the will of God, that Spirit can teach us, that we become teachable. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. That's the mind I need, a mind that thinks like God thinks. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your rational or reasonable or logical worship, is the word, apparently. The Greek word logikon is the word for that describes the worship. It's a worship that makes sense as you think about it, and think about what God wants. Offered bodies come from changed minds. because the mind is where we make our decisions. They might be driven by our will, by our feelings, by our heart, our gut, wherever it is that you get your strong emotions. But actually, we sort it out in our heads. We need minds that think the way that God does, where we weigh up the decisions, where we assess the options, where we think about, will we go this way or won't we? And the transformation that comes through gospel-shaped and gospel-powered renewal of our minds is a transformation that sees us become less conformed to the will of the world and more conformed to the will of its creator. It shapes us into, Danny says, it shapes us into logical, rational, reasonable people we were created to be. You see, our desire is changed by the Spirit so that we might desire to be as God has planned for us to be. It's not enough to just not be conformed. We must also be transformed by this gospel-shaped, gospel-powered renewal of our minds. I think the challenge for us is to not just leave it at the Spirit works on our spiritual. Because spiritual and real everyday living are just connected. It's spiritual isn't something you put in a box and say that's what I do early in the morning when I do my devotion, or that I do on Wednesday night when I go to home group. Our spiritual lives and our everyday lives are united because of the Holy Spirit. And that's the place where God calls us to live out this Spirit-filled life. Not necessarily on your knees, though that's a good place to renew your spiritual life, but it's in the everyday reactions and stuff, when the person at the till at the supermarket isn't being extremely helpful to you, or you've just run into someone who pushed their trolley the wrong way, or you had to wait in a very, very long queue for whatever, or the internet doesn't work for you and you just lost your booking, or you... all the things that drive us crazy, and then those irritating neighbours, irritating grandchildren, irritating colleagues at work, irritating students, all of those things. That's where God says you will live a gospel-transformed life. And it will come from a transformed heart and mind. So it's not just an outward action. They go, yeah, as long as I look all right out here, I'll be fine. I just always have to keep myself in order. But rather is driven from transformation inside us. Because we have a new birth, a new parental likeness to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is going to develop and mature. It will have milestones like children have milestones. You take them along to that paediatric nurse or your GP to say, are they doing okay? Have they reached the right height? Are they walking at the right stage? Don't you think they should be doing better at school and behaving better? Surely they could settle down now. All of those things. We test our children. We test ourselves. That's what we do in our spiritual lives. And we could come to adulthood and be quite aged and still have very childlike spiritual lives. So there's allowing the Spirit to work in us and to grow us for each of us individually and for all of us collectively as the people of God. We are the body of Christ. We are to be changed and to mature and to minister in the likeness of Christ. Isn't that what we see the disciples doing as we read through Acts? We see what their transformed life. The Gospels focus us on Jesus, rightly, and the disciples following along and learning. And suddenly in the Acts, we see the body of Christ at work. Those people who had followed Jesus are now the ones preaching and teaching and praying and worshipping and gathering and feeding and providing pastoral care, healing, casting out demons, digging up the ground, building houses and roads, governing, imagining, creating, decorating, organising, speaking, advocating, parenting. All of those things are being done by people transformed by the Lord Jesus and every day wanting to live in that likeness of Jesus. In the Message, as in the Message translation of the Bible that Eugene Peterson did, he wrote these words about Romans 12. He says this, Romans 12, 1 and the verses following. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Place your life before God. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you. It is the best thing you can do for Him. God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. It's as we take our ordinary life, our everyday going to work, walking around life, and put it in God's hands and let go of holding on to it and guiding it ourselves, like a learner driver, but to say, no, God, it's yours. Keep working on it. Keep leading me in it. Keep changing me daily so that not only I, but we, in connection with one another, can take on the shape of Jesus in the world. So that whether we're talking about it or doing it, people see and go, it looks Christ-like. Or it looks like something different. What is it? And we say, oh, it's like Jesus. And if someone says to you, well, you know, we know that, you know, you are the body of Jesus here on earth, will we be comfortable with what it is they're seeing? Will we have been really letting go and giving our lives? Let us pray. And I'm leading us in a prayer that's based on a prayer written by a woman called Anne Streichertz. She's a sports chaplain. Loving Father, we invite you into our lives today and make ourselves available to you. Help us to become the best version of ourselves by seeking your will and becoming living examples of your love in the world. Open our hearts to the areas of our lives that need to change in order for us to carry out your mission and experience the joy you have imagined for our lives. Inspire us to live our faith in Jesus in ways that are dynamic and engaging. Show us how to be your living body in this place. Make our community hungry to hear your word and live it. Give us courage when we're afraid, hope when we're discouraged, and clarity in times of decision. Teach us to enjoy uncertainty and lead your church to become all you imagined it would be for the people of our times. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Holy Trinity. Amen.